The Old Testament reading is from Psalms, and I'll be reading from Psalm 119, beginning at verse 129. You can follow this in the Pew Bibles on page 581. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. With open mouth I pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your custom towards those who love your name. Keep my steps steady according to your promise, and never let iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because your law is not kept. You are righteous, O Lord, and your judgments are right. You have appointed your decrees in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, but your commandments are my delight. Your decrees are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. This is the word of the Lord.
If you'd like to keep your Bibles open, please, at Psalm 119, page 581, that'd be great. And let's pray and ask God to be with us and to feed us with his words. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a loving God, that you are gracious and merciful, and you would speak with us, your people, today. Lord, we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would open our eyes to your wonderful truth. And Lord, please mold our hearts to live for you in this world. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice to be on a desert island like that? Wouldn't that be nice? On a rather cold, chilly autumnal day? Now, in 1961, C.S. Lewis wrote a wonderful little book called Reflections on the Psalms. And in it reflects on the Jews' love for God's law, as they were surrounded by pagan peoples. And he says this about God's people loving God's law. Insofar as this idea of the law's beauty, sweetness, or preciousness arose from the contrast of the surrounding paganism, we may soon find occasion to recover it. Christians increasingly live on a spiritual island, new and rival ways of life surrounded in all directions, and their tides come further up the beach every time. Isn't that the truth? We live on a spiritual island, and there's lots of different things around us. Competing voices, spiritual distractions, things that will tempt us to abandon Christ, who is our first love. So very simply, the question is this on Bible Sunday. Will we listen to the voice from heaven, God's word, or those siren voices that will seek to shipwreck our faith? Will we satisfy our spiritual hunger with the wonderful bread that comes from heaven, or with the world's fancies and the next big idea? Today in Bible Sunday, I'd like us to think about our attitude to God's ways as uniquely revealed in his word, and we're going to use Psalm 119 as a springboard to understand something of how the man or woman of God can view scripture. Now, they might not come terribly well across in our English translation, but this is an acrostic poem. It's actually divided up into 22 sections, each one beginning with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. And the psalmist, whoever it was, he loves to play around with words. In Hebrew, there's 8 words that we have translated for us. Sometimes they're translated as law, laws, that's a different word, decrees, precepts, statutes, promises, word, and commands. It's like in Inuit, the Eskimos have about 20 different words for snow and ice. But for the Hebrews, they have lots of different words for this concept of law. It is so precious to them. I wonder this morning, what is your view of the law? I think it's probably something annoying. Restrictive rules that tend to get into tangled bureaucracy, stifling legislation. But that is not how God's people view the law. Forget the scowling, dusty, crusty old judge in a wig telling us off. It's much more about a loving parent, guiding us, instructing us, caring for our children. Look at verse 129 of our reading. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. I wonder this morning, are we so bored? Are we so immune? Are we so turned off by the Bible that there's very little wonder or beauty left in the pages of God's Word? I think we are in the horrible situation today that the Bible has never been more widely accessible in this country, but probably never so rarely picked up and actually read. Now here's a nice picture. I wonder who had honey this morning. Anyone? Anyone have honey? 2 people, well. I wonder if we can really say in our heart with Psalm 19 that the law of God is sweeter than honey to us. It's a lovely image. Is it more precious than gold to us? Do we build our lives upon it? Can we actually make it the foundation of our lives? Now, the writer here, he's not ignorant of the harsh realities of life. He knows that sorrow comes to us all, and none of us are removed from the evils of this present world. But the words of God are eternal, perfect, outlasting any of our present difficulty and pain. Verse 143. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, but your commandments are my delight. Your decrees are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Now, I think it's fair to say that many people today are completely turned off by the current media obsession with politics, whether it's Trump against Clinton, an easy or a hard Brexit, or yet another independence referendum looming up in Scotland. But I wonder if part of that disillusionment is that we're disillusioned with politicians. We can see the lack of integrity between what a politician says and what they do, whether it's in private or public. We're fed up with yet more exposés, scandals, media stings, hacked emails, etc., etc. But not so with God and his word. Verse 137, you are righteous, O Lord, and your judgments are right. You have appointed your decrees in righteousness and in all faithfulness. You see, the character of God, he's faithful, pure, perfect, righteous, and therefore his words can be trusted. So there's a really close tie-up, if you like, between God's character and God's word. That's why we listen to God's word, because he's pure and perfect and righteous. So let's not have any of this nonsense about my personal life having no bearing upon my public duty. Of course they do. Do you not think that somebody who is immoral and dishonest in their personal life, that might possibly feed into their public life? Should we not weep and mourn when we see God's commands openly mocked, ignored, and disobeyed? You can hear the psalmist's heart breaking. Verse 136, my eyes shed streams of tears because your law is not kept. Verse 139, my zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. I wonder if we love God's commands and his words. To be honest, far too often I hear Christians laughing about drunkenness, about immoral things, about bad language, rather than hating the sin in the world and hating the sin that's in my heart and in all our hearts. If we love God, we will also love his word and love his instructions to us. He is our loving Father. We are his children by adoption. Do we care what he says to us? Or have we bought into that lie that God wants to spoil our fun, rein in our parade and cramp our style? Have we reflected on the great truth that our greatest joy, our greatest peace, is found not in ourselves, but in trusting God, of molding ourselves around what he says to us? Will we place ourselves under his authority and love? If you can't see it, that's probably the point. It's a dark park with a man shining a torch into the light. We all have to admit that we need guidance and direction, not just in the major life events, but also in day-to-day living, in the small details of our existence. The psalmist reminds us that God knows what's best for us, and meditating on his law gives us guidance, direction, and help. Verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Now, the Bible may not give you a specific black and white text about a certain job, where you should live, if we should marry, and who that might be. But it does give us many principles, a moral pattern to frame our life by. When we make decisions, do we take these things into account as God's word is unfolded to us? Just think about some of those major issues of life. Do we honor our parents, family, those dependent upon us? These words are from 1 Timothy chapter 5. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty challenging, isn't it? If we don't look after our own family and our own dependents, we're worse than those who have no faith at all. Do we care for the poor, the orphan, the widow? If our lifestyle will not allow that, then perhaps we need to ask ourselves some very serious questions about our spending and our priorities. From 1 Timothy chapter 6, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. That's the principle set out in God's word, to look after others, to care for our neighbors. Do we value the sanctity of human life, right from conception to death? Or do we capitulate to our present culture that decrees that all life is not equal and we can choose who is worthy to live? Do we now condone abortion on demand, testing on human embryos, euthanasia, assisted dying, etc.? These poignant words from Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame is not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eye saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now, folks, these are massive, complicated, heartbreaking issues, difficult decisions to be made. But let's not pretend that God is silent on these issues. The Bible sets out a moral framework for us to set our lives by. There is guidance and help if we choose to open our eyes to the light of God's word. Now let's change tack a little and think about how technology could possibly help us to understand the word of God. Now let's do a quick survey. Who has been on the internet in the past week? Now, that's probably quite a lot of you, okay? Even the more mature members have been on the internet as well, I think it's fair to say. The number of emails I get from people who are much, much older than me, sent by my iPad. It's amazing. Now, who has read the Bible in something other than a printed book? Have you ever read the Bible on a phone, a tablet, the internet? Probably about half the number of people. Now, let me just recommend to you some resources that you might want to think about as we come to Bible Sunday. Now, this is a great book. If you are a parent, a grandparent, a godparent, this is a wonderful, wonderful resource. Technically, it's a children's Bible, but actually, to be honest, it's for everyone. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. Every story whispers his name. Now, the great thing about this Bible, it's not only beautifully illustrated, not only does it faithfully tell the Bible stories, but also relates each story to Jesus, who he is, and why he came. This is a wonderful, wonderful Bible, and it's actually now been put into DVD. So on four DVDs, it's the animated stories in this Bible. And one of the best things is also narrated by David Suchet, who's that wonderful actor probably best known for his portrayal of that Belgian detective Poirot. Now, if the technology is working perfectly, we're going to see one of the animated stories from this Bible. It's only about 3 or 4 minutes, and it's a wonderful representation of these stories in God's Word. So, Samuel, can we have that video, please?
A giant staircase to heaven.
It's the Tower of Babel.
Noah and his family lived in the land, and his children had children. And those children had more children. And then those children had even more... Well, you get the picture. Until there were lots of people on the earth once more. Now, back then, everyone spoke exactly the same language, so you didn't need to learn Swahili or Japanese or anything, because you could say hello to anyone, and they knew what you meant. One day, everyone was talking, and they came up with an idea. Let's build ourselves a beautiful city to live in. It can be our home, and we'll be safe forever. Oh, then they had another idea. And let's build a really tall tower to reach up to heaven. Yes, they said. We'll say, look at us up here. And everyone will look up at us, and we'll look down on them, and then we'll know we are something. We'll be like God. We'll be famous and safe and happy, and everything will be all right. So they got to work. Brick by brick, the tower grew higher and higher, until it soared above the city, touching the sky. They built stairs in the tower to climb to the top. It was like a giant staircase to heaven. Look, they cheered. We're the ones. See what we can do with our very own hands. They were quite pleased with themselves. But God wasn't pleased with them. God could see what they were doing. They were trying to live without him. But God knew that wouldn't make them happy or safe or anything. If they kept on like this, they would only destroy themselves. And God loved them too much to let that happen. So he stopped their plans. One morning, they went to work as usual, but everything was different. Their words were all new and funny. You see, God had given each person a completely different language. Suddenly, no one understood what anyone else was saying. Someone would say, how do you do? And the other person thought they said, how ugly are you? It wasn't funny. You could be saying something nice like, such a lovely morning, and get a punch in the nose because they thought you said, hush up, you're boring. You couldn't even say, pardon, to check if you heard right, because no one understood that word either. It wasn't easy to work together after that, as you can only imagine. People were always quarrelling and fighting and getting in a dreadful muddle and becoming grumpier and grumpier until at last they were all too cross to keep on building and just had to stop. After that, people scattered all over the world, which is how we ended up with so many different languages to this day. You see, God knew however high they reached, however hard they tried, people could never get back to heaven by themselves. People didn't need a staircase. They needed a rescuer. Because the way back to heaven wasn't a staircase. It was a person. People could never reach up to heaven. So heaven would have to come down to them. And one day it would.
It's very, very well done. So please don't think this is just for children. It's a wonderful resource for any sort of family if you want to share it with others, either in the book form or the DVDs. Now, there is our man again, David Suchet. And some people think it's actually very helpful, instead of just reading God's word, to actually hear it, listening to the rhythms and the language flow over us. That same actor has produced the entire Bible in the modern NIV translation, and it's absolute joy to listen to. We can really let it soak in, seep into our bones and make it our own. We can store God's word in our hearts by listening to it. I'm going to have another very short video, and this is the last one today, of David Shusay explaining why he did this project and what it means to him to record the Bible.
I suppose the best way for me to start talking about what I'm doing is to start like the Bible starts, in the beginning. I had a conversion experience that began in 1986. When I was converted, I was an actor, and I thought, well, one thing I can do, or I think I can do, is to read. And I've, for many, many years, felt that I wanted to put my voice to the Bible. Not only bits of the Bible, but the whole thing. And basically, this is what I'm doing. I'm now recording the whole of the Bible, and it will, for me, fulfill what I suppose is a 27-year ambition. Isaiah chapter 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. I think what is surprising when reading the Bible out loud is over and over again I hear in my head as I'm reading it a quote from the Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. It doesn't say read the word of the Lord. It says hear the word of the Lord. And it's my prayer that everybody hearing my reading will find the same things, that it will be fresh. And they will think, as I think when I'm reading it, gosh, this is fantastic. What I hope from a personal point of view is that whoever wants to will be able to read the Bible at the same time as listen to it, or listen to it without reading it, and that they will want to keep returning to it. But in practical terms, I have done it, and I must leave it to a far higher being and let him do what he wants with it.
So that's another great resource I can definitely recommend to you if you want to hear God's word as well as just read it. Now let's go on to some different resources on the internet which you might find really helpful. Now this is the daddy of them all. It's called BibleGateway.com. Don't worry about all these addresses. They'll all be on the internet and we'll make sure there's a page of all these resources. But this is a wonderful website where you can actually compare different translations, different versions and languages. You can look up keywords when you cannot remember where something is found. You can get notes and explanations on the different passages. You can get a reading plan throughout the year. The website can even send you a thought for the day or other devotions. And the sheer amount of internet traffic to this website is amazing. Can you see at the top there the different sort of tabs? Now let's go on to the next slide, please, if that's all right. Now you might be thinking, what exactly is that? Well, 1.6 billion pages of this website are viewed every year. 160 million people go onto it from 200 different countries, 70 different languages. Now, they reckon that people spend 76 million hours on this website every year. It's an extraordinary thing. And they've collated all that information from the last year, and these are the most popular passages from the Bible, collating all that information together. The lighter ones are the books of the Bible and chapters which are not so popular, and the darker ones are the really popular ones. So you can see in the middle a lot of the historical books, not as popular. As we get down towards the bottom, you can see the Gospels, which are much darker. And the darkest one is John chapter 3, not surprising. And then you can see some others which are quite popular towards the Epistles, Ephesians, whatever. But if you actually go a little bit backwards and into the middle, you see Psalms. Psalm 23 is one of the most popular passages. And you need to remember, of course, that this is accessible to many different countries around the world, including places where the church is persecuted, where Christians get thrown into prison. And these things are a wonderful resource for the suffering church. Now, that's one website called Bible Gateway. Lots of great resources there. You might want to find an app to put on your phone. There's lots of good ones out there. The Logos Bible, the ESV, that's the English Standard Version, the Olive Tree Bible. Now, what can you get with some of these Bible apps, as well as just being able to read the text? Do you want to learn Greek or Hebrew? I'm sure you do. Well, there's something called an interlinear Bible. You can see the Greek text across the top, then the translation, and then there's information on each word. Again, great for people who want to go into real depth in the Bible and find out what the original language is meant. It also means, by the way, that the Bible text that we have at the moment is reliable. Particularly in your dialogue with other faiths, particularly Islam, they would say, well, the Bible has been changed over time. You can't trust it. Well, actually, you can trust it. You can go back to the original languages and see that the translation in your hands today is authentic, reliable, and you can trust it. Here is a parallel Bible. You can see different translations all put together. If you're not quite sure exactly what one passage means, you can line up the different versions and make sense of what that passage says. It's a great resource. Do you like maps? Well, maps are a really useful thing to show that the Bible happened to real people, in real places, in real time. You can check out the locations of places if you're not sure where they are. You can see where the modern day sites are. There's a map of Israel today, and you can see the different places which appear in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can work out distances. Is it a fertile plain? Is it a wilderness? Is it mountains? What's going on? Maps are a wonderful way to see more about what the Bible's been happening in it. Now you might be thinking, well, how can I bring my own personal devotions, my own personal prayer life, back to life again? Well, these are some little apps which you can get on a phone, tablet, or whatever. This gives you the day of the year. It gives you the readings for that day, a little bit of help of what to pray for. And this is a lectionary developed by the Church of England. And again, there's some of the different Church of England apps you might be interested in. Lectionary readings, daily prayer. More than 200,000 people have downloaded those applications since 2011. Can you believe they're actually looking at 176 different countries, from Afghanistan to Zimbabwe? And there's some details on the right. The average amount of time spent in prayer in one of these apps is 6 minutes, 42 seconds. Now, you might be thinking, I want to learn a little bit more about the Christian faith. What does doctrine mean? Well, one thing that's really coming back into fashion is the so-called catechism. It's a question and answer format. It asks you a question, gives you the answer, links it back to the Bible verses, gives you a little bit of commentary, and at the end of it, there's some videos and other things to help you understand the passage. This catechism is called the New City Catechism. It's organized by a church called Holy Redeemer in New York City, and one of the best-selling authors, Tim Keller, has helped to put this together. And here's just one example. This is question 51. Of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension? And that says, Christ physically ascended on our behalf, just as he came down to earth physically on our account, and he is now advancing for us in the presence of his Father, preparing a place for us, and also sends us his Spirit. And this is a wonderful way to think about the Christian faith. A lot of these catechisms go through the Ten Commandments, they go through the Apostles' Creed, they go through the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, and lots of different things. It's all free on the internet. That one's called the New City Catechism. Now, what about more traditional Bible reading notes? Again, many people have made use of these around the world. It gives you a passage for the day, gives a little bit of explanation, and some things to help you pray. This one's produced by Scripture Union. It's called Daily Bread. You know, they get it in hard copy format. Again, or you can get it on your phone or tablet. There's another one from the Good Book Company called Explore. Again, you either sign up to an online subscription or you get them sent through in the post. Another great way of reading God's Word. What about theology websites? This one's called Be Thinking www.christianfaith.org. It's a way of explaining and engaging with the Bible and the Christian faith what these things actually mean. Again, there's beginner's level, there's advanced level. It'll give you all manner of talks, reading lists, information on different topics. And perhaps you want to explore this for yourself. Is Christianity unique amongst different religions? What is the relationship between science and Christianity? Lots of great things on these websites. This one's called bethinking.org. But finally, there comes no other alternative that you have to dive in for yourself. I wonder if some of us, if we're honest with ourselves, are we going a little bit cold to the Bible? We think, well, I did that when I was a teenager. I did that at confirmation classes. I've read the Bible. I wonder if some of the wonder, some of the delight, some of the beauty of God's word has disappeared. Well, I'm going to pray now and pray that in this Bible Sunday, God would give us a new vision, a new love for his word. And there's many different things we've looked at today, many different Bibles, many different applications, many different websites. But let's pray that however we look at the Bible, God would warm our heart and that we would dive in and we'd feed on God's word for ourselves. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you that you're not silent, but you speak with us. We thank you for those who have given us a Bible in our own language. We thank you for people like William Tyndale who sacrificed his life that we can read the Bible in our own words. Father, please forgive us when we've grown cold-hearted, apathetic to your word. Lord, help us to pick it up and read it. We pray that you'd speak to us through your word. And we're going to finish with the Church of England Collect for the second Sunday in Advent. So let us pray. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given to us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.